A quote to start things off, there will always be something new to discover. A minute moss never found before. A rabbit eating birdseed with the boars on a hungry November day. A bittern that stays only long enough to be remembered. Those words came from the late naturalist and author Anne Zwinger. And our next guest actually lived part of that, the moss part. Keir Wefferling is an assistant professor and curator of the Fewless Herbarium in UW-Green Bay's Coffrin Center of Biodiversity. He, along with volunteers, recently came across a moss that he'd never seen before and that's never been documented scientifically in Wisconsin before. Keir is with us now to talk more about the experience and the herbarium. Keir, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Set the scene for us first, Keir. Tell us about this field trip you and the volunteers were out on.
All right. So this was late September, and we had our rubber boots on and hand lenses and some collecting bags. And this was up in the Northeast Sands region of Wisconsin, up in Oconto County. And it is a state natural area. And we were just doing a preliminary survey of the bryophytes, the mosses and liverworts and hornworts that exist there, and set out through kind of a white cedar swamp, a very wet forest with a huckleberry understory and conifer overstory, and then lots of beautiful ferns and fern allies and hummocks of mosses, at least five different species of sphagnum moss in the understory. And we were doing what we call a meander survey, which it implies we don't know where we're going. And in this case, that was true. We were just sort of wandering toward the lake. And we expected to find a pretty rich bryophyte community, a rich moss community, just based on the geologic and glacial history of this part of Wisconsin. And there was a pretty rapid transition when we reached the edge of the lake. We stepped out onto this sort of quaking floating mat over a shallow lake and encountered a very different moss community and a bunch of ericads, a bunch of blueberry relatives like cranberry and some leatherleaf and some Labrador tea. And a few insectivorous or carnivorous plants, now some rare orchids and sedges. And then we crossed this little inlet to the lake. It was a treacherous crossing. We only had, our 12-inch rubber boots on and hoping not to go over the tops. And so I was out there with Joan Berkopek and Ron Eichhorn. And Joan and I have been collaborating on learning the mosses of the region just over the last few months to a year. And we were hunched over right by this inlet, and we were on opposite sides of a little clump of sedge, and both of us were exclaiming, look at this, check this out. And neither of us wanted to look at what the other was looking at because what we were looking at was so cool. And I was starting to exclaim some pretty colorful language, and because it was just such a strange looking little moss, but I didn't know what it was when I first saw it, nor did Joan. And turned out to be this little tufted fen moss, this beautiful little, diminutive plant. And the tufted fen moss, as you correctly stated, it has not been found or documented in like a Western scientific framework before in Wisconsin. As far as I know, the people that were here before us and who are still here, Menominee and Ocheti Sakawin and Anishinaabeg, these First Nations people, they very likely had a relationship with the plant, knew about the plant. I've reached out and I'm in communication with some colleagues in UW-Green Bay's First Nations Studies program to learn more about these mosses and other plants and what they might tell us about the communities that we're in.
And Keir, stepping back a little bit, I think we might assume that scientists have already found all the stuff, all the species that are in a place, things like that. No, there's still some sense of, as you said, not really discovery exactly, because people probably knew about it hundreds of years ago, but a sense of finding something that at least our current scientific community didn't know was out there.
Yeah, it's super exciting. I think it definitely points to the fact that we don't know everything that's out there, and there's so much to learn. And I think getting people, you know, out to these special areas to look more closely at these communities is important. Building these collaborations and looking with in some cases new eyes.
As you mentioned, you have this effort to catalog moss. You are into moss lately. Give us a little quick moss 101. What is it? What does it do in an ecosystem?
Yeah, so mosses in the peatlands, these peat accumulating wetlands, where I've been really interested in spending more time in lately. So a peat accumulation occurs when production or fixation of carbon from the atmosphere outpaces decomposition, and that state of peat accumulation can occur in really acidic environments or really basic high alkaline high pH environments. This tufted fen moss was found in the latter, a boreal rich fen. So that's a mineral rich, nutrient rich, alkaline environment or plant community. Some of these acidic plant communities, like the bogs and the muskegs, the mosses are ecosystem engineers. They'll actually acidify their surroundings and sort of lay the stage for these other acid-loving vascular plants, the flowering and seed plants. So these mosses can be ecosystem engineers. They can be, in many cases, very sensitive to the abiotic conditions, the groundwater quality and quantity and temperature, water fluctuation regimes, and so forth. So they can tell us something. Well, they can tell us a lot simply by their presence about the conditions of a site. And I'm interested in sort of, you know, using these mosses in that framework as indicator species to tell us about these natural plant communities where we want to spend time and study and preserve and conserve, and they can really inform our understanding of the dynamics as our climate changes and as we impact our land more and more.
Talking to Kira Wefferling, assistant professor and curator of the Fewless Herbarium at UW Green Bay's Cofran Center of Biodiversity, looking at the finding of a previously uncatalogued moss species here in Wisconsin. And something that struck me, Kira, in your description of where you found the moss. I will admit, I'm not a guy who's good at identifying plants. I walk through the woods and I can pick a tree, grass, flower, sure, that kind of thing, moss maybe.
Yeah.
But the incredible amount of diversity you just described in a very small area, for those who know what they're looking for, can you talk about how much variety we can find in just maybe a few square yards in some places in the state?
I don't have a really tidy answer for that, I'm afraid. Yeah, a few square yards. We might see dozens of moss species, fewer vascular plant species. So it all depends on the community that you're looking for, right? There's also the liverworts, another bryophyte, another non-vascular land plant. These are plants that reproduce by spore and sometimes asexual propagules. They'll just sort of break apart, or they'll have specialized reproductive structures that are not necessarily due to sexual reproduction, and we're looking at the gametophyte stage in the mosses. They're haploid dominant, so they just have a single genome copy that governs, you know, how they interact with their environment. And the sporophyte, what I think we're used to interacting with, like when we look at a tree, that's the sporophyte generation, the diploid usually generation. In the case of the mosses and in the liverworts, the sporophyte's actually parasitic, essentially, on the gametophyte. It's growing out of and supported by the gametophyte. So it's got a wonderful little life cycle. spore reproduction. And these spores, they can just disperse very long distances. So, I've been asked, in this case, the tufted fen moss, whether it might have just come here from somewhere else recently. And that's perfectly plausible. In this case, the tufted fen moss is actually single sex, so individuals will be either male or female. So that's a problem with dispersal. If you only get one sex, then you won't get reproductive. You won't get sexual reproduction after that initial colonization event.
Now, speaking of lots of plant diversity here, I don't want to run out of time without talking about the herbarium at UW Green Bay. Can you talk about this, in effect, library of plants?
Yeah, great. The herbarium is basically a museum. It's a collection of dried, pressed plant specimens. The Fewless Herbarium has about 45,000 dried vascular plant specimens, and I'm trying to add mosses to that. And there are like 13 other, as far as I can count, 13 other herbaria here in Wisconsin, about 3,000 in the world. And we're one of them. So we're, storing these plants, and they're used for biodiversity studies. So they can inform phenology, geographic distribution, morphology, even in some cases, one can get molecular data from herbarium specimens, actually break off a piece of leaf and grind it up, get the DNA and sequence that DNA. I'm working on digitizing the collection, meaning taking high resolution photographs of every specimen and I'm putting that on a public facing portal. So that, I think that's really exciting. A lot of herbaria are doing that these days and really adds to the value.
And yeah, when can the public start getting a look at that digitized collection? So maybe people like me are better at spotting those plants out in the wild.
Sure. I don't know. Hopefully within a year or two. It's going to take quite a bit of time to get through our collection. And I'm still in the process of setting up that infrastructure. But I have really good support from the Cochrane Center for Biodiversity and from the university as well. So hoping sooner than later, but we'll see.
In just our last few moments, do you have more moss expeditions in the works now?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's, convenient or wonderful about mosses is that in many cases they're evergreen and you can visit them any time of the year as long as there's not snow on the ground. So I'm heading back out to some boreal-rich fens actually next Thursday. So up in Door County, I'm looking for a few more mosses before the winter time.
Well, happy exploring, Kira. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Kira Wefferling is assistant professor and curator of the Fewless Herbarium at UW Green Bay's Cochrane Center of Biodiversity. Talked to him about a moss he recently identified that had not previously been documented in the state.